I gotta admit, I'm incredibly excited for today. It's an absolute honor. I want to start off saying welcome to church. There's a few people here. It's probably your first time. We just want to let you know we love you already. Welcome home. I believe that everyone here is here for a reason today. I believe it's not by chance, not by coincidence, not by happenstance that you made it into these doors today. I believe God has a purpose for you being here, and God's going to speak to you today. Is that all right? Did you bring your Bibles today? All righty. Why don't you open up to 1 Samuel 3. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. While you're doing that, let's wake up a little bit. Why don't you turn to your neighbor, say, I've been praying all week. I got to sit next to you. Now, why don't you turn to your second choice that you ignored and say, yeah, you'll do. Youth, I loved being a part of the youth group here. It was amazing. Sonia Lindgren, you are blessed to have a youth leader who truly loves your youth. I see them all right here. They just got back from Radius Camp. I think you guys heard about that last week. I want to tell just a quick little story. My first time at Radius Camp was the first time I bonded with your pastor. The first time I really had any real conversation with him. And I was like 12 years old. Being a 12-year-old, I lacked all sorts of tact. And I wanted to communicate to your pastor that he was a fun person to be around. But what I said was, hey, Pastor Randy, I love you when you're not preaching. He got his revenge on me this past Saturday when he texted me and reminded me that in the book of Acts, a preacher, for the life of me, I can't remember his name, he preached his first sermon and was immediately stoned. So I'm just praying that doesn't happen to me today. But for real, I love Pastor Randy. He's an absolute mentor to me, and it is an absolute privilege and honor to be in his pulpit and filling in for him. You're under the leadership of who I firmly believe to be one of the greatest pastors of our time. And if you could just give him a hand, he deserves it. He's got a well-deserved break. You have a pastor who loves you and who's praying for you, and you should be praying for your pastor. With that, let's get into this. 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And I want to point out for just a second, in verse 2, it says, his eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see. That's actually a double meaning. It's saying that not only is he old as dirt, but that he was spiritually blind. He couldn't recognize the Lord. Verse 3, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am, you called me. My son, Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling the boy, so he told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you that we can gather here and we can worship you and we can enjoy your presence, God. Father, I pray that you fill me with your spirit. God, I pray that the words that I speak are not mine, God. God, I pray your anointing. God, I pray your spirit and your presence is in this place. God, just be here. Just meet us here. Father, I pray that hearts are open, that lives are transformed, God, we love you so much. Father, we need you. Father, we love you. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have 5 quick points. My sermon today is called When God Seems Silent, but I want to put a subtitle on that. It says, How to Hear from God. Because I believe God is never actually silent, but that we just don't know how to listen. I love that. I've got 5 quick points. I don't have a ton of material, but I believe that these are 5 points that if you grab a hold of, you're going to start to hear from God consistently and regularly. And honestly, I really do encourage you to take notes today. The first thing I learned at Moody was the more diligent notes you take, the bigger your mansion in heaven. And some of you are out here like playing on your phones. You're like, I'm taking notes. You're really playing Angry Birds. I hope you enjoy playing Angry Birds in your condo. Just saying. Five quick points taken from the example of Samuel. Point number one, expect the unexpected. When the Lord speaks, he's going to speak in a way that you're not expecting. If we look at the example in 1 Samuel, it says that hearing from the Lord was rare. The high priest at the time, Eli, he had 2 wicked sons, and they were allowed to just run rampant throughout the nation of Israel and just cause so much chaos in terms of the spiritual life. And all of Israel's spiritual health would hang from the spiritual health of this high priest, Eli. And so because of this, word of the Lord was rare. It was unexpected. And so when God did speak, it wasn't expected. I believe that God shows up most often when we least expect him to. I believe that God's power is greatest in our weaknesses. I believe that God will meet you where you are, no matter where you are, in the most unexpected way to prove his power through you. I want to look for a second in 1 Kings 19. Verses 11 and 12. And he, the Lord, said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore through the mountains and broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. See, God wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, but he was in the whisper. And until you learn to look for God in the whisper, you're not going to hear from God. Expect the unexpected. We have a God who meets and exceeds expectations. We serve a God who will meet us where we are. We serve a God who loves us and will speak to us in our lowest places when we least expect it. And until you learn to expect it, you're not going to hear from God. Point number 2 I have is live in the Word. Hearing from God begins with being familiar with him. Until you know the voice of God, until you know to look for the voice of God, until you know what the Lord sounds like, you're not going to recognize him when he speaks. You're not going to hear from God. In verse 2 of 1 Samuel 3, it says, One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord. See, Eli, his mistake was not living in the Word, not living in the very presence of God. Samuel, it says, Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. See, the ark of God was a carrier of God's very presence. Samuel was literally living in the presence of God, sleeping in the presence of God. We need to do something similar. Scripture everywhere talks about the importance of hanging on the word of God and staying in his presence. I want to turn real quickly to Psalm 3, or Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." I like that. Blessed is the man who is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on the word of God, who stays in the presence of God. If you are in the presence of God and if you are in his word, God calls you blessed. I like that it says he's like a tree planted by streams of water. It says that it yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. What that means, it's a little bit of a roundabout way, but what it means is that if your leaf does not wither, you're never out of season. So as long as you're in the law of the Lord, as long as you're studying the scripture, as long as you're in his presence, you will be bearing fruit. I love at the end, it says, "In all that he does, he prospers." God's blessing is on you when you meditate on his word. God will bless you. He will show up. And most importantly, God will speak to you when you meditate on the law of the Lord. I want to turn real quickly to 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, "All scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." Scripture is literally the breath of God. Scripture is God's number one way of communicating with us. And until you're familiar with Scripture, you'll never be familiar with God's voice. Point number two, live in the Word. Point number three, seek spiritual authority. Samuel studied under Eli. He lived in the temple. And even though Eli wasn't quite the man of God he should have been, he was still a spiritual authority. And that's important. It says Eli was inept. By this point, he was blind, both spiritually and physically. But what's amazing is that God still uses broken people. What's amazing is that in our inadequacy, God can use us adequately. In our failures, God is glorified. Look at the example of Paul and Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher. He was starting a church under the spiritual authority of Paul. And Timothy was the man of God that he was because of Paul's instructions and training. And it's important for us, too, to find the spiritual authority to train us and bring us up and to come alongside us and disciple us. Because if you surround yourself with spiritual authority who know how to hear from God, you yourself will know how to hear from God. Even Jesus, when he was a boy, they spent time in the temple and he questioned the priests. And the priests were absolutely amazed at his knowledge before the start of his ministry. He sought that spiritual authority. After the start of his ministry, continually, nonstop, Jesus was praying for the will of God. As we should be. How much more, if Jesus seeks after the spiritual authority or guidance, I don't want to call it authority, spiritual guidance of God, should we be seeking spiritual leadership in our lives? Point number four I have is walk in love. Samuel's entire future ministry was motivated by love. Love of God, love for the nation of Israel, love for people. And Jesus himself was motivated by love. Look at John 13, 34 through 35. It says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." See, Jesus had just said this after taking time to wash his disciples' feet. And foot washing at that time was reserved for the absolute lowest of the lows. And it was showing a sacrificial love that Jesus had for his disciples. He humbled himself to the lowest of the low to love and serve his disciples. And Jesus calls us to the exact same attitude in life. He calls us to humble ourselves and to serve others with a sacrificial type of love in an impossibly high standards. In 1 Corinthians 13, if you could turn there. Paul describes the spiritual gifts as worthless without love. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand it, all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing." Wow. If I do not have love, I am nothing. How true is that? When we walk in love, we open up our lives to hear from God. When we walk in love, we carry the very presence of God with us, and we're an example to others on how to love others. If we skip down just a little bit to verses 4 and 6, we see Jesus' impossibly high standard for love. It says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth." That's the standard that we're called to. Replace your name there. I'll put mine in. Matt is patient and kind. Matt does not envy or boast. Matt is not arrogant or rude. Matt does not insist on his own way. Matt is not irritable or resentful. Matt does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but he rejoices with the truth. Continue on. Matt bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And until your life looks like that, you're not going to hear from God. If you want to feel really convicted, try on your own power to do that. But praise Jesus that we serve a God who is patient and kind, a God who does not envy or boast, a God who is not arrogant or rude, a God who does not insist on his own way, a God who is not irritable or resentful, a God who does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but a God who rejoices in the truth. We serve a God that makes it possible for us to live this standard through Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. My last point. Speak and listen in reverence. And the worship band, if you can make your way back up. At the end of verse 9 in 1 Samuel, we see Eli tells Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." But at the end of verse 10, he says simply, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And I got to wondering and thinking about that. What was that? Why did he do that? And if you look carefully, most translations of the Bible have capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What that actually means is it's the covenant name of God, Yahweh, which has been considered too holy to even write. So they would abbreviate YHWH. We aren't even entirely sure how to pronounce it. Samuel omitted Yahweh, the word Yahweh there, out of reverence, in a similar way that we should revere the Lord. The Almighty God of the universe comes down from his throne to meet with us. And the only proper response is reverence. I love in Psalm 139, David, he captures an awesome view of the absolutely righteous nature of God and his omniscience and ultimate presence and everything about him. I'm going to read it out of the Message paraphrase. Don't judge me. I love it. It says, a David psalm, "God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you, and even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back, and I'm never out of your sight. You know everything that I'm going to say before I start the first sentence. I look behind me, and you're there. I look up ahead, and you're there too. Your reassuring presence coming and going. It's too much. It's too wonderful for me. I can't take it all in. God is everywhere. God is everything. God is love. God meets with us. This almighty God of the universe created everything we see, created you and I, humbles himself to meet with us, and we need to revere him for that. But because of Jesus, the veil of separation is broken. We can meet with God. We carry God's presence with us. We can use God's covenant name. We don't have to omit Yahweh. We can say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." How amazing is that? God wants to speak to you today. God wants to speak to you every day. But I think it's time that we learn to listen. Expect the unexpected. Live in the Word. Seek spiritual authority. Walk in love. And speak to God and listen to God in reverence. What would happen if we took some time out today and instead of talking so much at God, we talked with God? How different would our lives look if we actually listened for God's response instead of just giving him all of our problems? And today I think we can do that. In a minute, the band's going to play. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing it as well. And at that time, the altars will be open. And you can come up here. And if maybe you haven't heard from God in a while, there's two characters in this story. There's Eli and there's Samuel. And I think every single one of us can identify with one of them. Eli had heard the word of God before, but had grown blind to it. And it took him four times to realize that it was God speaking. That's a lot of us here. A lot of us have heard God speak. A lot of us have heard it a lot. But we've grown cold. We've grown callous. But a lot of us are also like Samuel. We've never heard God speak. We were not familiar with the word of the Lord. But today, I think that changes. I believe God wants to speak to each and every person here today. I believe that God's been speaking to each and every person here today. But I don't think that we've taken the time to say, "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." So today we're going to do that. Father God, we love you, Jesus. Thank you for taking on the cross. Thank you for coming to earth. And thank you for making a way so that we can use God's covenant name, Yahweh. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. God, thank you that you choose to speak to us. God, thank you that you love us. God, thank you that you hear us. Father, we love you so much.